This is Thursday, June 25th, and we are continuing our study in the life of Christ. We're in John chapter 1, beginning in verse 30 today, talking about John the Baptist and the statement he made about Christ, where he said, "This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me." We're going to be talking today and tomorrow about the subordinate relationship it appears that Jesus had with his Father, yet clearly the scriptures indicate that they are one. Should be an interesting time together. So let's go ahead and get started. We're dealing with this section of scripture in John chapter 1, where we find several days kind of rolling on top of each other and certain events taking place between Jesus and John the Baptist, where in verse 29, for example, that John sees Jesus and makes that affirmation, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And we spoke a lot about that last week. But continuing this day, let me go ahead and read the rest of this passage. It says, "This is of he whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water." Catch that. "I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel, therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him," again now he says that, "but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God." We've already talked about John's statement about Jesus being the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But the next statement that he makes talks about the fact that he is preferred before me because he was before me. He is preferred before me because he was before me. I'm always amazed when I see statements like this because John exhibits this character trait that I believe was of vital importance for the Lord to use him. This is the third time John has stressed his subordinate nature to that of Jesus. John came first. John's ministry was before Jesus. For several months, possibly 6 months, John was proclaiming about this person who was going to come, the Messiah that was coming, and it wasn't until the account we're reading here that it was defined or identified as being Jesus. John was older than Jesus, yet he always takes a subordinate role to him. We see this in chapter 1, and we especially see it later on in the Gospel of John, where he talks about the fact of being the friend of the bridegroom, and he says so clearly, "He must increase, and I must decrease." The first time John reveals this subordinate role he has to Jesus comes in verse 15. It says, John 1, verse 15, "John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." He's of preeminence. He must increase and I must decrease. Verse number 27, "It is he who coming after me is preferred before me," and then John adds, "whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose." And then we have in verse number 30, "This is of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, because he was before me." It's this mark of true humility that John has that I believe contributed greatly to Jesus saying that he was the greatest man who ever lived. And it's the same characteristic that John had towards Jesus that Jesus has with his Father. Which brings us to this issue of this relationship between God the Father and Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit, and how they all interact together and how they function together and what their responsibilities are. And some of the questions that we need to address are the fact, are they equally God? Is God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit equally God? Yes, we know they are God, but are they all God at the same level, of the same merit, of the same worth? In other words, can the Son be equal to the Father, or is the Father always superior to the Son? And the Holy Spirit, who was sent from the Father and sent from the Son, does that mean that he is subordinate in equality in worth, or just in action and attribute? Are they each equally God? And if so, is there a subordinate relationship between the Godhead? In other words, does the Son ever usurp authority over the Father and send the Father and tell the Father what to do? Does the Holy Spirit bring glory unto himself and take the glory away from the Son and the Father? Does the Father ever relinquish his throne to allow the Son or the Spirit to sit there? Or even in heaven right now, we see Jesus at the right hand of the Father interceding to the Father for us. So is there a subordinate relationship in the Godhead? And if so, is that a temporary relationship, or is that an eternal relationship? Are they eternally subordinated to each other? And if they are subordinate to one another, in some sort of hierarchy, like in a family, does that mean that they're not equal, or are they just have different functions? In other words, is that relationship based on merit or worth or something else? And then the question, of course, is why is that even important? Why do we need to pause here to try to figure that out before we move forward? There are many passages in the scripture that indicate that Jesus lived in a subordinate relationship with his Father, much the same way John the Baptist did with Jesus. Yet the scriptures say clearly that Jesus and his Father are one. There's a subordinate relationship, and yet there's equality in essence and equality in substance and equality in form. How is that even possible? How can they be separate and subordinate, and yet be one? Which brings us to the whole concept of the Trinity, which is this confusing concept that people have been debating on for literally millenniums. But it's clearly taught in Scripture, and it's something that's very hard for us to compartmentalize and figure out logically, and to truly understand what it's all about, we'll probably have to have that revealed to us once we get to heaven. But there are several facts that the Scripture teaches about the Trinity. And these facts on the surface seem illogical and inconsistent, yet they are all true. Let me share these with you. Number one, God eternally exists as three persons. He's revealed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Eternally exists as three persons. Two, each person is fully God. Completely God, not less God than one of the other persons, not more God than somebody else, regardless of how they're revealed in a subordinate relationship. And number three, even though God eternally exists as three persons, the scripture teaches there is one God. Excuse me? Exactly. God eternally exists as three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Each person is fully God, and there is one God. Now, in order to understand this subordinate relationship between Jesus and the Father, we need to begin to look at that relationship to try to determine how Jesus describes that relationship to us between him and the Father, understanding he is fully God, God exists in three persons, and yet they are all one. And the only passage we're going to be able to look at today, and there's more that we'll pick up tomorrow, is in John chapter 10. This is that amazing account where Jesus is referring to himself as a shepherd who knows his sheep. And it's a wonderful teaching on election and foreknowledge and salvation and stuff of that nature, but we just want to focus on one phrase in John chapter 10, verse 30. Let me begin reading this to you, beginning in verse 22, to give you the context. John 10, beginning in verse 22. Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. And the Jews surrounded him, and they said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered them. Note his answer. "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but you do not believe. Why?" Verse 26, "Because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life," which obviously makes him God, "and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hands," because, of course, Christ is the sovereign God. Then he says this in verse 29, "My Father who has given them to me," implying a subordinate relationship, "is greater than all," which again indicates that there would be some sort of level of magnitude of divinity, which God has the most in what he's saying. "And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands." And just so that they weren't confused, Jesus says this, verse 30, "I and my Father are one." Same substance, same essence, but not the same person. Now, we're going to find as we go through this, and we'll pick this up tomorrow, there's a lot of passages where Jesus refers to the Father and himself as one. To Philip, "How can you say, show us the Father? If you've seen me, Philip, you've seen the Father," and we'll talk about that one tomorrow. To show that Jesus and God are the same essence, the same substance. They are both fully God. And yet in that relationship, just like with the Holy Spirit, there is a subordination there of function and duty. And it is this deferring to another that we see modeled in John the Baptist and modeled in the Godhead. And it's the true test of humility that is something I know in my own life I need desperately, and the church does today also. Hope this has been a blessing to you. We'll pick this back up again tomorrow, and we'll see what the Lord wants to show us. Have a great evening.